Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. My name is Paul Hebert. I have been a member here for a long time. I'm not sure my memory could tell you exactly how long a time, but I was one of the team that picked Kleber to become a minister here, so you can tell it's been a while. In the pulpit this morning, we have our Eric Johnson, and you are entitled to, you're invited to stay following this worship service for fellowship, conversation, and refreshments in our fellowship hall, the Kate Worker Room, through these doors behind me. If you are a newcomer here this morning, I don't see any newcomers, but if there are some, we extend you a special welcome and hope that if this is your first time to visit, you'll consider entering your name on one of the visitor cards that can be found in the back of your hymnal and place the card in the offering plate or hand it to an usher. If you do that, we'll send you the church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at the church. And now I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you do not know yet. I am convinced this is one of the most enjoyable parts of the worship service. If you have a short announcement for the good of the church, please come to the microphone and express your intent.
Sign-up sheet, the worker room on the desk for fourth Saturday lunch. If anyone is able, if you can spare to donate some food items, or distributing sandwiches in lunch bags to go, as well as personal care items, it'd be greatly appreciated. Helping hands also are always needed. That's this Saturday coming up.
This Saturday?
Yeah, fourth Saturday.
Is it this Saturday?
Well, not yesterday, but the Saturday coming up is fourth Saturday.
I thought it would be the 28th.
Fourth
Saturday.
So it's not until the 28th.
You're kidding me. Okay,
well that's okay, though. It's cool. Let's go ahead.
Still.
Do you want to wait and do your announcement next week?
Forget what I just said. No. We still always need food. If anybody can spare, just a few ready-made sandwiches, bananas, granola bars, applesauce, as well as personal care hygiene items. Thank you so much.
Oh dear.
Okay, which is, I'm sorry, what's that number?
The 21st.
The 21st.
You kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
Ah. Oh.
You can tell we are nothing if not organized.
All right, welcome to church this morning.
It's summertime, you're all forgiven.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Sabrina. I'm speaking on behalf of the board, even though it's not July yet. To keep you up to date to what we're doing, we selected the interim minister, and we also selected a transition team composed of three people, Sayer Johnson, Marcia Custer, and Sarah Lazars, to help the interim minister with a whole bunch of stuff. And so that's going on, and Reverend Wolf will start August 1st. There you go.
And And on that note, I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any gratitude or celebrations you may bring with you to church this morning.
Hello, I'm Brenda McCoy, and I'm short. I have several things to be grateful for. Yeah, other short people. I have several things to be very thankful for. One is that I lost my...
Hey.
Nothing but a cane now. Did that while we were in Minnesota over the past, 6 through the 10th or whatever it was. Seeing the house we just bought, which is lovely, and the recital that our daughter's studio put on, which was spectacular, including a full production of Peter and the Wolf. And so all is good. We buried our St. Joseph per Lee's suggestion, so maybe our house will sell soon. But anyway, all is good, and I'm thankful.
Hi, I'm Lee, and I want to thank everybody's cooperation for getting the Emerson Place painted, and it looks wonderful, and thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lisa, and we are moving next week to the house we bought in Edwardsville. It's almost done being painted and getting ready, and I'm super excited, so we'll be doing that next weekend after church. Yay!
Hey. We can hear you.
Yesterday we went to the double feature of Henry V and Henry IV, and it turned out to be very, very good. I'm very happy about that.
Just a little higher. Not much higher. I'm Eric Johnson. Haven't seen most of you in a long time. Just wanted to give you an update. Things are going well for us. Marty just passed her one-year mark, and she has been approved for RTS-1, which is Revenue Tax Specialist 1. So that's good. In 4 more months, she has 4 provisional months, and then she will be certified in that position, and that's great. That's the first kind of stepping stone in her state career. I'm doing well. I'm at the Department of Human Services in East St. Louis, and I'll be certified in February. So everything's going really, really well. One thing I did want to say, and I'm sorry this is bleeding over into the concerns, but please ask your legislators to pass the good budget in the state of Illinois. If you live in the state of Illinois, please ask them to pass the good budget and not the flat budget, or to leave the flat budget into place. If the flat budget is in place by the beginning of 2015, I get cut, Marty probably gets cut, okay? It will be apocalyptic across the board, okay? So I understand that because of politics, we gotta wait till after the election to address budget issues. But once the election has happened, and please vote, once the election has happened, please ask that they fully fund all the agencies, because with ACA coming online and things like that, Department of Human Services, we're $481 million over budget. Okay, we had to do a lot of expenses, and we thought we were gonna get that in this budget cycle, but we didn't. So that's a lot that has to be cut, so just letting you know.
Now I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any sorrows or concerns you bring with you to church this morning. Nice to see everybody's doing well here. May the gratitude and celebrations among us this day become a blessing to all. May the concerns and sorrows of each be carried in all our hearts, a burden shared, become a load lightened. The prelude begins our worship service as Rowan Kinder lights our chalice. look to this day, for it is life, the very life of life. In its brief course lie all the verities and realities of your existence. The bliss of growth, the glory of action, the splendor of beauty, for yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. But today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day. Our first hymn is number 1030 in the Teal Hymnal, Siahambra. Please join us in responsive reading number 666, found in the back of your hymnal. It is entitled The Legacy of Caring and is from Thandika. Despair is my private pain, born from what I have failed to say, failed to do, failed to overcome.
Be still my inner self. Let me rise to you. Let me reach down into your pain and soothe you.
I turn to you to renew my life. I turn to the world, the streets of the city, the worn tapestries of brokerage firms.
Drug dealers, private estates, personal things in the bad lady's cart.
Rage and pain in the faces that turn from me, afraid of their own inner worlds.
This common world I love anew, as the lifeblood of generations who refuse to surrender their
from within this world, my despair is transformed to hope.
I begin anew the legacy of caring.
From all that below the skies, let songs of faith and hope arise. Let peace, goodwill on earth be sung through and been greatly blessed, let us now give generously so that others may be blessed by the work of the church. The morning's offering will now be given and received. Receive with gratitude all generous gifts of time, talent, and treasure. And together we bless them and those who gave in faith, hope, and love. Amen.
Okay, if we have any kids here, come on up. We on, Jerry? Okay, great, good. And just to be nice to the grown-ups, if any grown-ups would like to come down and sit up front, they can as well. Okay, fair enough. All right, well, this morning, I went through my children's books because it dawned on me as I was about to leave, oh no, what if there's a children's moment and I'm not prepared? But luckily, I have a huge children's book collection. My mother-in-law buys at least two or three children's books for us every holiday. It's a tradition of hers, and I really love it. And it usually has to do with the holiday. So we have a vast collection of children's books. So I went to my children's books collection, and I searched, and I searched, and I kept searching for anything with dad or daddy in the title, or even a strong father figure, because it is Father's Day today, and I only found one. Are we there yet, Daddy? And so we're going to read that, okay? And then we're going to talk just briefly about what we find in this book. And I'm going to change the words just a little bit because it's actually going to Grandma's house. But since it's Father's Day, we're going to put Grandpa. Going to my Grandpa's house, it's so far away. Going to my Grandpa's house, we're going today. Put the map in my lap. It will show the way. Are we there yet, Daddy? Daddy says, no. How much further do we have to go? Just look at the map, son. Then you will know we have 100 more miles to go. You could tell this is going to be a long book. Going down the highway, mile after mile, going down the highway, singing makes us smile. Dad and I and Bitsy leave the city for a while. Are we there yet, Daddy? Daddy says, no. How much further do we have to go? Just look at the map, son. Then you will know. We have 90 more miles to go. Racing with a freight train, count the cars real fast. Racing with a freight train, wave as it goes past. The engineer signals clear and gives the horn blast. Are we there yet, Daddy? Daddy says,
no.
How much further do we have to go? Just look at the map, son. Then you will know we have 80 more miles to go. What's cool about this book is there's a map insert in there so you can kind of see progress. I like that. Going on a bumpy road, a long way out of town. Going on a bumpy road, I'm bumping up and down, bouncing up and down. Bounce high, bounce low, bounce fast, bounce slow. Uh-oh, Daddy. I see Daddy frown. Are we there yet, Daddy? Daddy says,
no.
How much further do we have to go? Just look at the map, son. Then you will know. We have 70 more miles to go. Daddy frowns because there's a dead end thing. Obviously, Daddy took the wrong exit. Yeah, map, dog on MapQuest. Okay. Going over bridges where rapid rivers flow. Going over bridges, please tell us if you know, why do currents whirl and ripples curl, and where does water go? Are we there yet, Daddy? Daddy says, how much further do we have to go? Just look at the map, son, then you will know. We have 60 more miles to go. Going through a forest, tall trees all around. Going through the forest, shadows on the ground. An autumn breeze blows falling leaves and red and gold and brown. Are we there yet, Daddy? Daddy says, no, with slight irritation in his voice at this point. How much further do we have to go? Just look at the map, son, then you will know. We have 50 more miles to go. Entering a tunnel that isn't very wide, entering a tunnel that's really dark inside, this could be where secretly the dinosaurs still hide. Are we there yet, Daddy? Daddy says, no. How much further do we have to go? Just look at the map, son, then you will know. We have 40 more miles to go. Stopping at the mini mart to get a bite to eat. Stopping at the mini mart to get ice cream treat. Dad gets upset because I get some chocolate on the seat. Are we there yet, Daddy? Daddy says, no. And then Daddy asks, how much further do we have to go? Just look at the map, son, then you will know. We have 30 more miles to go. Going through a rainstorm, windshield wipers swishing. Going through a rainstorm, raindrops splish splishing. Lightning flashes, thunder crashes. Now I'm rainbow wishing. Are we there yet, Daddy? Daddy says, no. How much further do we have to go? Just look at the map, son, then you will know. We have 20 more miles to go. Going, yes,
well,
question. No, what Donkey was doing was going like that. That was what was annoying the father in that movie. Hold on. Okay. Going fast past other cars with the motors roaring, going slow past other cars, this is getting boring. It's hard to keep from going to sleep, and I hear Bitsy snoring. Bitsy is a dog. Are we there yet, Daddy? Daddy says, no. How much further do we have to go? Just look at the map, son, then you will know. We just have 10 more miles to go. Going down some quiet streets, passing by a park. Going down some quiet streets, it's getting dark. The town clock chimes so many times, that makes Bitsy bark. Are we there yet, Daddy? Daddy says,
yes.
Yes. We don't have farther to go, I guess. Stopping at an old house, I start to wave and cheer. I'm glad the trip is over. It seemed to take a year. Then Bitsy jumps out. I run and shout, Grandpa, we're finally here. Now, here's the question, okay? There is a quiz at the end. What is the daddy doing that's really good in this? Not getting upset. And adults, that virtue is called patience. Thanks a lot. Okay. Luckily, that was the reading as well. If we could now bow our heads for a more moment of prayer and meditation. Loving and gracious, give us this Father's Day peace, understanding, love, and compassion. Give to us discipline, and guidance, intelligence, and wisdom, so that we might improve ourselves, that we might be better, though it be only temporary, though it only be ephemeral. Bless our strivings and sanctify our failures. We now bring before you the silent meditations of our hearts and the unspoken concerns of our minds. If you would please remain seated and join in our next hymn, number 1053, in your teal hymnal. It's entitled, as soon as I get to it, How Could Anyone? First off, happy Father's Day to those fathers or those who identify as fathers or father figures in any way, shape, or form. Blessed Father's Day to you. And I also want to tell you that I forgot a joy. Well, actually, I didn't forget the joy. The joy just happened in the interim when we did it. And now, one of my great joys is that the first service I ever came to here at this church, Brenda McCoy was here. And Lane played the drums. And so, again, I get that wonderful joy. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there this morning and all those who identify as fathers. I want to explore fatherhood this morning because, for me, fatherhood is an incredibly important issue in my life and also the source of a lot of stuff. Let me start off by introducing myself for those who don't know me. I'm Eric Johnson, and I am now a human services caseworker for the Department of Human Services. I do food stamps, ACA or Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, and temporary assistance for needy families. I say now because I spent the previous 5 years as a UU hospice chaplain. I helped folks spiritually during the last 6 months of their lives, only it wasn't the last 6 months, it was usually more like 4 days. It was incredibly stressful and hard, long hours, and frankly, the outcome of my labors was simply a good and peaceful death and normative grieving. It was just too tough, and it took me away from my family at a time when they needed me most. My wife, Marty, also works for the state in Springfield, Illinois, for the Department of Revenue. She lives there during the week and travels back on the weekend. Thus, I'm functionally a single parenting for most of the week. So hospice just wasn't going to work out. Thus, I left ministry and started my job with the state in February, and I'm happy to report that I've never been happier with a career. Although DHS is very behind in its work because, frankly, the need is so great, we just had a month-long push to reduce the number of food stamp applications, which are over 30 days past due from processing, from 15,000 to, as of Friday, just over 1,000. So the need is great. But it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to get someone the benefits that they need. And last week, I got to erase $43,000 of medical bills from a man's life by getting him medical benefits under the Affordable Care Act. Poof. Just a couple of keystrokes, and I made $42,000 go away. People eat, mothers and fathers get financial help, all with a few keystrokes. And I also protect our taxpayers' money by keeping benefits out of the hands who shouldn't have them. So it's a lot better now than having to manage 3 to 5 deaths a week. And now I get to focus more on what I believe is one of the pivotal roles of my life, being a father to my daughters, Meredith and Lauren. It's super important to me because my own father was not that great. Honestly, he did a heck of a lot better than his dad. My grandfather abandoned my father when he was 4. My dad only saw his father once more in his life when he was 12. So, yes, my dad did a heck of a lot better. But though he was in my life till he died of pancreatic cancer in 2008, he was largely absent, especially emotionally. The emotional scars of his own abandonment left him an emotional invalid. My dad was a perpetual 12-year-old. Little Johnny was off playing ball, out with his friends, making his own fun. As an adult, my father was a fabulous salesman, really unrivaled. He could walk into a room of 100 people and know half of them, and in 20 minutes, know the other half. Not only that, come away with invitations to weddings and bar mitzvahs and the like. But he was always working. I can count on the number, on one hand, the number of times he played ball with me. There was no intimacy with me. The most intimate thing we did, and only did as adults when I would come and visit, was to watch war movies after Mom had gone to bed. We did love to do that. But my father really couldn't feel his way out of a wet paper bag. Those of you who know me can tell you that I am very extroverted and energetic, and that's my father and me. But that I am very involved with my girls and I like doing RE. I taught the OWL class, our human sexuality curriculum, along with Juliet Crone Willis and Robin Berkeley last year. That is a reaction to my dad. It is an intentional choice that I made to be different when I became a father. This choice was solidified when my father died in 2008. He wrote me a letter which was given to me after he died. I was very excited because I thought that I would learn how my father felt about me. His minister had insisted that he write both my mom and I letters. I'm an only child. My mom's letter was a rambling letter about how he loved her. And my letter was a single paragraph saying that he hoped that I became a Christian so that he could see me in heaven. Not I love you, not I'm proud of you, not even a word of advice. Simply hope that he could see me again in heaven. I now realize that my 5 years as a hospice chaplain was one giant therapy session to work through that one paragraph. Working in a hospice was a fabulous therapy, and the cool thing about it is I get paid for it. Working daily with death teaches you immense lessons about life. What is life worth living? What's a bad life? What is important at the end? A million other lessons. I had a lot of driving time in between hospice clients, as they are not all in one nursing home or in a private home. I had a lot of time to think, and I would smoke my pipe in the car in between appointments and think about a lot of it. So what follows are some of the things that I worked out for me. Take it or leave it. Please be self-differentiated, meaning if it works for you, great. If it triggers you or makes you angry, simply chuck it out. Please know that I don't mean to make you angry or trigger you. by what I say. Fatherhood, and by that I mean, well, to tell you the truth, I can't totally define it. I am male, and it's the parenting label that society sticks on my parenting. That's it. I frankly hate the terms fatherhood and fathering, etc. They box me. And frankly, as a UU, I have an immediate and visceral reaction to being boxed. One of my favorite professors in seminary, the late Jean Betke Elstein, did an amazing work on this for mothers in her book, Women and War. And she found in literature and historical accounts two dominant archetypes of mothers, the Spartan mother and the beautiful soul. The Spartan mother recounts the tale of the Spartan mother in ancient Greece who sent her sons off to battle. The house servant returned from the battlefield crying, "Mother, your sons have been slain." And she backhands the servant, and she looks down at the servant on the ground with fire in her eyes and roars, "That is not my concern. Did we win?" Her mother's role was to produce warriors, to produce a certain type of man to service the state. Her feelings were irrelevant. It was a role of duty which boxed the woman in to an uncaring, critical role, but which produced the greatest male warriors of history. The other role was that of the beautiful soul. Think Victorian England. And this, in this role, the woman is the paragon of beauty, virtue, and grace, and not to be sullied with the cares and concerns of politics or industry. She was to stay in the parlor. Think of the upstairs women in Downton Abbey before the war. Those of you who know the show Downton Abbey. Before the war, because what happened in the war? They got jobs, they became independent. They started to take an active role in public life. But before then, they were confined to the parlor and not to be sullied, literally sullied with politics or industry. And again, they were boxed in. And they were boxed in order to keep them from taking part in public life and in certain, in a huge section of private life. They were boxed in by their role as mothers. So going back to fathers, let's think of the movies that dads, fathers, have fathers in them, and think of the role that they're playing. I looked this up this morning online and got lots of them, but I want to see what you say. Whenever I do services, I love to do interactive stuff. I frankly don't like to lecture and preach a lot. I like interaction. So I'll start, because this is the coolest, and I wanted to get to say the coolest one. Think of the role of father, Darth Vader in Star Wars. Right, can't be topped, I know it. The role that he played was bad father, was absent father, bad father, and who finally kind of makes it right in the end, right at the end. Can anyone think of other, in movies or literature or anything like that, popular culture, so to speak? Mrs. Doubtfire. Okay, the role that the father played in that one. Incompetent father at the beginning, then through a radical change learns competence. Any others? Jim Carrey and Liar Liar. Okay, role. Can you think of a role?
He's so focused on himself and his job that he's always making promises and breaking them at work, and then saying happy endings.
Right, and then the magic, the transformation happens. Also pay attention to the mechanisms of change. Okay, that's also important to happen. Any others?
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. Okay, roll. But he's never there.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. The other. Paul Ingalls. Okay. Roll.
He's sort of like paradigm. He's like, he watches over and guides, but he also gives
space. Okay. Any other positive?
Father knows best.
Father knows best. Okay. What's the role? What's the role there? Tell me about the role. Okay, kind of a, well, in Norse mythology, you have the Odin or Votan, and one of the titles is All Father, and someone who knows. So there's a knowledge theme going on that exactly Father knows best. It's in the title. Any other, can you think of any other positive or good role models? Atticus Finch. What makes Atticus a good father?
His almost unending patience with children.
Patience, just like the story.
Listens so marvelously.
Right, right. I think of Dr. Huxtable from the Cosby Show. He's also very active, very involved. The thing that I liked about his show was that he was also vulnerable. He made mistakes. Things got messed up invariably, and they all learned. So it wasn't the kind of Ward Cleaver, Leave It to Beaver kind of father of, I know what's best, this is what we're doing, this is how it's going to happen. It was a dialogue, and it was a interaction. Any other?
Well, if we're going to contemporary, Blue Bloods has three generations of fathers interacting and, who's father and whom.
Okay.
I was sitting here thinking of this whole time, and the only thing that's coming to mind is one of the plays we saw yesterday, Henry IV. And at first, Henry IV seems like a bad father because he's absent and he's wrapped up in his job of being king. He bemoans the fact that his son is a lazy, no good type. However, he does meet with him several times, and while he expresses scorn for the way his son is acting, he also tells his son that he can be better. And finally, in the end, he challenges and says, look, we got to go to war, and I need you.
Complex as everything. Any others?
Isabella suggests Captain Von Trapp.
Captain Von Trapp. Okay, Isabella, what makes him a good dad? Right. Maria. Maria. Right. Right. You know what I also like about Captain Von Trapp is he stands up to injustice. And he denies what's the Anschluss when Austria was annexed. He fights against that, the annexation. So excellent, excellent example. Any others?
Vito Corleone.
Vito Corleone. It's interesting because that was in the online when I looked it up. Again, this is not statements about what's good, what's bad. We're just doing examples and playing with examples. Any other ones? And I did hear you say that. But see, it's not your dad hasn't made it to popular culture yet. Give him a couple years, you know. Keep the expectations low, but then, yeah. Andy Griffith. Oh my gosh, I didn't even think of that one. That's excellent. What made Andy Griffith in that? I didn't want to put anything on it. Right. 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 Oh, I totally forgot that one. That's excellent. That's right, Ron Howard. Ron Howard sure did. And he does. He does. Well, he was an amazing man. Yes, Mary. Yes, and if I remember correctly, gosh, it's been a long time since. He what? Okay, at the meeting. Okay, so here's a father who's confronted with a son who's different and moving through that difference. So that's excellent. And being flexible. Any other? Yes?
Steve Martin and Your Parents.
Yes.
That's one of them. The whole movie, the whole family is just a whole bunch of different archetypes of parenthood. But Steve Martin's character, he's
reminds me of anybody who's seen the show, the movie A Little Miss Sunshine? So the father figures in that. You've got all kinds of father figures in that. Okay. 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 Good.
Not a good dad. That's all I can say about
it. Okay. Great. Okay, so now we've got all these people in our minds. Let's synthesize just a little bit, okay, before I move on. What are the qualities of a good father, good dad? What are the qualities?
Compassion.
Love.
Patience.
Presence. Yeah. What else?
Involvement.
Okay.
Consistency.
Okay. I think also vulnerability, the ability to be vulnerable and to be flexible. Okay. Qualities of a poor father. Absence.
Neglect.
Inconsistency. We can reverse some of them.
Indifference.
Yeah. Indifference. Apathy.
Dominance.
What's kind of know-it-all? What's the fancy word for that?
Arrogant.
There you go. Cruel. Overprotective, okay.
Controlling.
There we go. All right.
Violent.
Yeah, it can, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, so going on. I want to give you my favorite quote of all time. I have not found a single quote that hits me more squarely. My absolute favorite quote. And as it so happens, it is also by my favorite father figure, Mr. Rogers. Love isn't a perfect state of caring. And I'm going to read this a couple times so you get it. Love isn't a perfect state of caring. It is an active noun like struggle. To love someone is to strive to accept that person exactly the way he or she is right here and now. Love isn't a perfect state of caring. It's an active noun like struggle. To love someone is to strive to accept that person exactly the way he or she is right here and now. Now, let's exegete this passage of Holy Scripture like it is. Mr. Rogers is saying there is no perfect state. Or to put it into our discussion of fathers, the perfect father does not exist. It's not Ward Cleaver. It's not any model we might think of. It's not even Mr. Rogers. I tell my kids, I will put you in therapy somehow. I'm sure even Mr. Rogers' kids have issues because of him. There is no perfect state. It's a very Zen-like statement, isn't it? Thus, these models that we have just mentioned from our movies, none are ideal. They're all pointing to something or to some quality, some aspect. Fatherhood, to continue this, is an active noun-like struggle. And God, is that just so perfect? And struggle it is. Parenting is struggle. When you add to that gender issues or masculinity issues, it's a mess. And no wonder we spend most of our lives struggling to be a good parent, and why men struggle to be good fathers. And to finish this little bit of quote up, I think one of the most important aspects of parenting and fatherhood is to strive, not always to achieve, to get it right, because again, there is no perfect state or right action of fatherhood. To accept our children exactly, and look at that, exactly. He was very clear on that word, exactly. If our child is gay, straight, queer, quirky, strong-willed, mousy, whatever, to accept them exactly as they are right here. Wow, just think of it if we could get a little closer to that. If our dads had gotten just a little bit closer to that, how would our lives have been affected? My dad might have said that he loved me and was proud of me in that letter, no matter what religion I was. We all might have been profoundly affected by radical acceptance of how we were right then and there. Think to yourself for a moment about how you wish your dad, your father, had accepted you. I'll just let you think for a minute. Now that we've done just that little exercise, and I'm breaking that off a little bit earlier because it is a triggering thing. We've taken Mr. Rogers' scripture out of context, the scripture of the gospel, the good news of Fred, is about love, not fatherhood. So let's put it back into its proper context. St. Fred was talking about love. That love is not a perfect state of caring. He's talking to us as humans, as mothers, fathers, parents, funny people, sad people, angry people, gentle angry people, as we use like to call ourselves. He's talking about the generic topic of love. But love calls us to action. It's not actually enough to just accept. The citizens in this country can accept or learn to accept marriage equality. Is that enough? Maybe for right now, just because that's a good step. Is it enough to accept transgendered folk? Maybe for now, just because that's a good step. But I feel that love calls us to do more than that. I feel that love calls us to intentional action. I spend time with my girls as an intentional act, as an intentional improvement over my father. I share intimacy, I lecture, I discipline, I guide, I strive to teach and show the best way forward as I see it as an intentional action. I make myself vulnerable to failure and error as an intentional action. I apologize, reroute, and try like the Dickens to be flexible as an intentional action. Thus, the whole thing becomes a cycle. I strive to accept, to love. I stretch with intention through love. I accept and reroute with intention. I accept, stretch with love, accept with love, stretch with love, accept with love. And thus it goes like this. And thus do I hope with faith that I will improve and those around me will improve. So it's actually not so much of a cycle or circle, but rather an upward spiral. That's of acceptance, intentionality, acceptance, intentionality, getting better, improving, improving. And what's the opposite of that? It's discrimination with hate, stagnate with hate, or maybe apathy and indifference. That's moving down. Discrimination and stagnation, not doing anything, not being anywhere for anyone. Stretch with love, accept with love. Applied to fatherhood, my fatherhood today, my dad had no models. My dad had no father in his life. He did the very best he could. He didn't show me much love, but I can show my girls love. Sometimes I do it incorrectly, but I try to learn and I try to show them love and accept them as they are right here, right now. And may we all strive to accept ourselves and others right here, right now, and engage and struggle with the active noun of love. Blessed Father's Day. And now our final hymn, if you'd stand as you are able, is in the, whoops, wrong book, in the teal hymnal, 1008.
We are blessed with love and grace and grace.
Go now, give love, give kindness, give your heart to all those you meet. Go and bless others. Amen.
Happy Father's Day.